to me over the whole time that she was living with me.
That's probably why she wasn't getting along with her mother.
Can these parents regain the peace?
This one is going to use you, and then she's going to use her father. Of course, all she's doing is manipulating the two of you. It's not a new story.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Russell Heiser is suing his granddaughter's father, Joshua Tuning, for the cost to replace his granddaughter's saxophone.
Order. All rise.
Case number 579 on the calendar, the matter of Heiser versus Tuning.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Mr. Heiser, this young lady, I assume, is your granddaughter.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's your daughter.
Yes.
And that is your daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had one child together?
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when your granddaughter was living with her mother, and they weren't getting along too well, I gather from your papers.
Yes.
So she decided she wanted to go to live with her father. When was that, sir?
I believe it was in August of last year.
August of 2012?
I believe so.
And when she came to live in your home, mm-hmm. one of the things that she brought with her was a saxophone that had been purchased for her by her grandfather.
Yes.
And given to her as a gift.
Yes, ma'am.
She stayed with you for a while. And then for whatever reason, she wasn't happy at your house, and she wanted to go back to her mother's house. When was that?
That was actually January 29th, I believe, was the... Oh, no, it was the 27th, because the 29th was the day we took the stuff to the house.
Had you had an argument with your daughter?
Yes. She was habitually lying to me over the whole period of time that she was living with me.
That's probably why she wasn't getting along with her mother.
Yes.
How many children do you have?
Total, I have two. I've also got two stepchildren.
But you have
also.
Two children?
Yes, ma'am.
How many children do you have?
One.
Well, let me tell you what this one is going to do. This one is going to use you, and then she's going to use her father, and then she's going to use you, and then she's going to use her father. And unless the two of you get together and say to her, that's not going to happen. Your father and I aren't going to tolerate that bad behavior. You're both doing her a disservice. Because all she's doing is manipulating the two of you. You understand that?
Yes.
It's not a new story.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Right.
How many grandchildren do you have, sir?
I have two.
You like her?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love her.
But she's a teenager, and she's a teenager with two parents, and she's going to pit one against the other and figure out where she can live her life as free of rules and regulations and whatever else she wants to do. So that's not a good idea unless all the grown-ups band together and say, we are a united front. Just some free advice to you.
Right. Thank you.
And in any event, this is what the case is about. You bought her the saxophone, gave it to her as a gift, so you really have no interest in the saxophone anymore, sir. So you are really the wrong plaintiff, because if your daughter has custody of her and she's a minor, the only one that can sue on her behalf is your daughter. So, Mr. Tuning, I can either substitute her mother as a plaintiff, if you consent to it, or I can send you back to small claims court where you came from. What's your pleasure?
Since we're here, I would like to go ahead and get it taken care of.
Okay. Sir, why don't you sit down? You can stand up. Your last name is?
Heiser.
All right, Miss Heiser. You have a custody order for your daughter?
Yes.
Fine. Then you're her custodial parent, and you are now suing on her behalf for the return or the value of the saxophone that Mr. Tuning left outside. Because you returned the saxophone, you left it outside their house when your daughter decided she wanted to go back to her mother. You packed up all of her stuff. You left it outside. The saxophone's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You left it outside where, sir?
It was under an overhang of their house. If I may I start a little bit beforehand?
It's not really important.
Okay.
She used you. First, she wanted to go to your house. Then she wanted to go to her mother's house. You probably got annoyed. Whatever it was, you packed up all of her stuff. They told you to bring back her stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Okay. You brought it back. Did you call immediately before and say, I'm putting the stuff outside?
We tried to call several times.
Not tried.
It went straight to voicemail.
Well, then you can't do that. You're responsible for that saxophone.
I drove 45 minutes to get to their house. I told them...
I don't care whether you drove for 45 days to get to their house, sir. leaving a message on their voicemail that you were coming over with the stuff is insufficient to safeguard a valuable piece of property that you left outside negligently. You did not safeguard it.
You couldn't see the saxophone from the street. It was completely
They're not
covered.
Lying that the saxophone was gone. They weren't home when you got there, is that right?
I don't know. I knocked on the door,
nobody
answered.
You knocked at the door, nobody answered. So it's strictly a question of whether or not you were negligent in leaving a valuable piece of property outside that could be taken.
My thinking was that FedEx and UPS leave packages every day, so I didn't think it would be that big of a deal.
Well, FedEx and UPS have insurance. I hope you do. How much was the saxophone?
It's worth $2,200.
I didn't ask you what it was worth. How much did you pay for it?
I paid $1,401.
Can I see the bill? What is this trade-in?
I bought her a beginner saxophone in 09, and she got better at it, so we traded it in for an advanced saxophone. They gave me $450
credit
on the trade-in.
Okay, $1,401 judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Please excuse me. Step out.
They asked me to bring the saxophone there.
I don't know if he did or if he didn't.
They called me almost 2 hours after that point and said, where's the saxophone?
I know he came up with a lot of money after it was missing, so.
I mean, it wouldn't be beyond me that she actually didn't take it herself.
For him to treat her the way that he's treated her is really a shame.
And then just trying, because the family has been trying to get me for as long as I've known her.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Bodine versus Evans. Step forward.
Party bus owner Dennis Bodine is suing former client Denise Evans for damage to his bus as the result of a fistfight.
Mr. Bodine, were you the driver on the party bus, sir?
Yes, I was.
Okay. The defendant rented a party bus from you for an event. What was the nature of the event?
My birthday.
What birthday?
30th birthday.
How many people?
About 29 to 32 people.
And how many people does the bus hold?
30 people.
Do you have other party buses in your fleet, or do you just own one?
We have 4 buses, actually.
Are you the owner of the company?
Yes, I am.
Your claim actually is primarily for one thing, and that is that you claim that there was a fight that broke out amongst her guests
Yes.
in the party bus, and as a result of that fight, one of the seats was broken, and you Yes. want her to pay for that.
Correct, and also for the excessive trash inside the vehicle.
I'd like to take a look at that. Did you have a written contract with her?
Yes, I did.
I'd like to take a look at the contract as well. Miss Evans has the interesting defense of her friends could not have caused the damage to the seat because the fight was on the other side of the bus. And with regard to the trash, she said she would have cleaned up the trash if you gave her more time or if she knew it was really important.
I did clean up the trash. He helped us clean up the trash, actually, the bus driver.
Who's the bus driver?
This doesn't look like the bus driver.
You're not the bus driver?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you drive the bus that
yes,
night?
Yes, I did.
If I would have remembered someone looking like Dorner driving the bus, I would have remembered that. There was another driver on the bus, and it wasn't him. And the bus driver actually helped us clean up, and we cleaned up the bus, and we got off.
Your Honor, they were so intoxicated when they got on and off the bus that she wouldn't have known who was driving the bus.
No.
You weren't driving
no.
the bus. I'm looking
no.
at you.
No. No, no, no. She's not lying to me. She says you weren't the bus driver. I believe her.
Well, Your Honor, I was the bus driver.
Prove it to me.
I was driving the bus because I'm the only one who has a Class B license who can drive the bus, so.
What does that mean? You said you had 4 buses. You mean if you get 4 orders, you send 3 out with
this
with
particular
drivers,
bus is the one that I was
drivers.
Driving.
She says you weren't the driver. What did the driver look like?
He didn't look like that. He was a little bit darker, and he had more hair on his head.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You were supposed to have another hour or so, and the bus driver told you the ride was over.
Correct.
I would tell you the ride was over, too, if there was a fight in the bus. And you don't deny that there was a fight in the bus.
And later today...
We had an intimate relationship, but we were not together. So just through everyday
well, just
conversation.
A second. How far apart could you be if you had an intimate relationship, Mr. Tyler?
You didn't expect
Did
that
Did I get
one.
It right?
A little curveball.
Cases, real people, Judge Judy. Party bus owner Dennis Bodine says former client Denise Evans owes for damage to his bus as a result of a drunken fight.
Denise is countersuing for the return of the rental fee.
Were you on the bus?
Yes, ma'am.
How many hours were you on the bus?
Maybe 2 hours.
How many hours were you on the bus?
It was actually about 3 hours, actually on the bus.
When did you get on the bus?
Around 8:30 p.m.
And when you got on the bus, that was when you paid him, is that correct?
I paid him before I got on the bus.
Just a second. So you had an exchange with him?
Correct.
Did you pay him in check or cash?
Cash.
So you actually had to put the cash in his hand?
Correct.
You weren't driving the bus.
I was driving the bus.
Don't believe it. Sorry. Do you remember what the bus driver looked like?
Yes. Well, a little bit, but yes. He was, like she said, darker, and he had more hair on his head. And actually, I wasn't allowed to get back on the bus because my wallet got stolen. So when he dropped them off at the club, and I asked why, because I'm like, well, we paid to get on this bus, and we paid for
so
our...
So you had a discussion with him?
Yes.
So you're telling me with certainty that this is not the person you had
yes,
a discussion
ma'am.
With?
Your Honor, does she know what the bus driver's name was?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I know the bus driver that night wasn't you. Now, you may be the owner of the company, and maybe the bus driver didn't want to come today, but she wasn't drunk when she paid the bus driver at 8:30 at night.
Correct.
Okay. Let's get to your counterclaim, because I'm dismissing his claim. He has no right to be here. He has no witnesses, unless your bus driver is here.
I am the bus driver.
Your case is dismissed. Now, from what I read from your answer, Ms. Evans, you're suing because you were supposed to have another hour or so in the bus.
Yeah, we were supposed to have 2 extra hours.
And the bus driver told you the ride was over.
Correct.
I would tell you the ride was over, too, if there was a fight in the bus. And you don't deny that there was a fight in the bus.
Correct, I do not.
But that it was on the different side of the bus.
It was at the front of the bus.
Wherever it was, I would tell you that the ride is over, too. I wouldn't drive around 30 people when there was a fight in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So your counterclaim's dismissed. Bye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
People got into a fight. I don't exactly know how it happened, but...
I have no idea. They were arguing among themselves in the back.
They got into a fight, and it was at the beginning, like the front of the bus.
They were drunk.
The part that he's claiming is broke is at the back of the bus. The bus was already rigged.
It was immaculate. We cleaned the bus. They trashed it.
Like that, and he just wants somebody to pay for it, and I'm not going to do it.
We cleaned it. They trashed it again.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of McCrummity versus Tyler. Step forward.
23-year-old Miata McCrummity is suing her ex-boyfriend, 24-year-old Jeremy Tyler, for an unpaid loan for rent and money for storage fees.
Mr. Tyler.
Yes.
How much money did you take from Miss McCrummity?
I didn't take any money. Miss McCrummity gave me $300.
Just a second. If she gave you $300, then you took $300.
I didn't take it from her. She paid it despite me being my reluctancy. I told her not to, and she paid it anyway.
To whom?
To a realty company. I had gotten behind on my rent.
How would she know that you got behind on your rent?
Her and I were friends, and we talked casually all the time. We had an intimate relationship, but we were not together. So just through everyday
well, just
conversation.
A second. How far apart could you be if you had an intimate relationship, Mr.
No,
Tyler?
Officially together. And it came up.
You didn't expect that.
Did I get it right?
A little curveball there.
We just had regular everyday conversations, and it came up.
No, a regular everyday conversation
yes.
doesn't come up. I owe my landlord money, and I'm going to get evicted.
She was someone that I confided in. So this was just regular conversation between her and I. When she learned of my situation, she offered to pay for it. I told her no. I told her, you know, I didn't feel comfortable with her doing it, despite me saying that she went to the realty company and paid it anyway. I was not present.
Just a
second. I was not there.
Where did she have to go to find the realty company?
The sign is right outside the house. She knows exactly where, knew all of that information.
Is that what happened?
No.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
That's what you wrote to him.
Would you like to see what he wrote to me?
After he got this?
Yes.
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
Okay.
Great.
Here you go.
I would like to know what she said I wrote too.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Miata McCrummity says ex-boyfriend Jeremy Tyler owes for loans. Jeremy is countersuing for the return of his property and harassment.
Now, how much did you pay towards his rent?
$1,337.
May I see with the receipt that you have? You left out a one. What are you looking to be confused? You said she paid $300.
Because he didn't know that I had the receipt.
That was my apologies. My apologies. I'm going to say
I said you left out a one.
Yes.
$1,337. Very good. Now, when were you supposed to give her back the money? Now that we know that you forgot the one. When were you supposed to give her back the money?
I was never supposed to give her back. I never asked her. It was never a loan. She took it upon herself. She went and paid the rent because she was really into me. She really wanted to be with me. She really wanted to help me. And she gave me the $1,337. I actually have documentation of her telling me to keep it and not to give it back.
Oh, I'd like to see that, Mr. Tyler. I would like to see
right here.
That, sir.
This is a message from her.
No, I can read. Well, this she actually sent to you. She said, by the way, after she said you owe me the money, mm-hmm. you know you owe it to me, and I don't see how you can sleep at night knowing that you owe me the money. She said, despite that, she's glad she met you. It was an expensive experience, costing $1,300 plus my well-being, but it's an experience that I now know I need to grow. BTW, which I actually believe I know means by the way, correct? Keep the $1,300. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Keep it. What I've gotten, learned, and experienced from you is worth much more than $1,300, and I will never forget my lessons. That's what you wrote to him.
Would you like to see what he wrote to me?
After he got this?
Yes.
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
Okay.
Great.
Here you go.
I would like to know what she said I wrote, too.
Start up here. I want my $1,400 back in the story.
Don't. I'm not going to touch it, because, you know, I touch it, it'll go away. I want my $1,400 back. End of story. How dare you actually try to get out of paying me? I understand that people in...
Oh, that's what she said.
I'm Tay.
Okay.
And so he said, you should have thought about that before you threw away my things and gave away my TV and my luggage. More importantly, before you told me that we were even. Thank you. I read enough, actually. It's great. Perfect. I love the texting. I love how people just... So this is...
I have more.
Hey.
If necessary, I have more.
It doesn't
I also
matter.
Have things that she...
No,
that
it
I would
doesn't
like you to see that she sent me.
Hey. Very easy. You forgave whatever loan it is right here. That's what this says. This says, by the way, keep the $1,300. Yeah, that's right, I said it. Keep it. The experience I got from you was worth more than $1,300, and I will never forget my lesson. So you forgave, if there was ever a loan, you forgave it. Well, then you had a change of heart and mind back later in January, and you started this correspondence with him, and now we come to your countersuit.
Yes.
Just quiet.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, the countersuit says that she disposed of some of your property, a TV and some other stuff, right?
Yes.
And you say to her, you know what? You disposed of my TV and other stuff, so you're not getting your $1,300 back. Even if you hadn't forgiven the $1,300 back then, you're not getting it back because you got rid of my TV and other stuff. Uh-huh. That's what you said, right?
Yes.
Perfect. So what do you want from me? You forgave it if it was a loan, and you said it's an even Steven because you got my stuff, so I'm not giving you any money. So I believe that you actually laid out the money for him. Whether it was a loan or gift, I'm not sure, but I don't have to make that judgment because whatever it was, you forgave it. And you wanted it back, and then he said, now you got my stuff, so we're even. Makes my day. So long. Goodbye.
As our excuse may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Did you have insurance on the car?
I did not have insurance.
You can't drive around without insurance. Did you get any tickets on this car?
Yes, ma'am.
He repossessed the car.
Next, Judge Judy.
Next on WBZ TV.
Yes, I was actually seeing Mr. Tyler, but I was actually just being nice.
She couldn't take that we were no longer seeing each other.
It had nothing to do with any ulterior motives.
Really wanted to be with me. It's her way to getting back at me.
There's neither here nor there. I just wanted to help him out.
She was just using the money as a tool.
When I thought I was helping him out. And in fact, I was.